Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series The Life of the Christian in the World Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org. Subject of this audio Watchful in Prayer Chapter 1 The Central Meaning or Purpose of Prayer The theme of this material is a complementary subject to the topics addressed in other series of the Systemic Teaching About Christian Life, such as suggestions for reading and studying the Bible, the Gospel, the Good News of God, and the series on the life of the Christian in the world. From the moment the Gospel of Christ is presented to a person, one can believe in the message of God and have an individual encounter, through faith, with the Lord Jesus Christ and experience the salvation of God in one's life. Salvation, however, and as seen in other preceding themes, is not an experience in a single or isolated moment so that an individual later returns to a condition of life equal to the one lived before one's encounter with Christ. On the contrary, God's salvation provides a new condition of inner life to the person who receives it. And concerning which, God's will is that this newness of life may be a growing experience for the recipient and that it may culminate in an ever-increasing and eternal fellowship with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, 9 God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. John 15, 4-6 Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. John 17, 3 And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. For the Christian who is still in the world, even though one is no longer a part of it, it is crucial to reach an understanding that God's salvation goes beyond an act or a single experience. Salvation is given to a person so that one may live in fellowship with Christ and reach an understanding of the necessary condition that exists for him or her in the continual practice of the work of abiding in Christ, through which the Christian is instructed so that the other areas of one's life may also become aligned with the will of God. After receiving the salvation granted by God, fellowship with the Lord becomes the fundamental aspect of the Christian's life because, as seen in the theme on Work Out Your Own Salvation, it is also through fellowship that the Lord grants words or instructions that lead Christians to the paths in which they achieve growth in this very salvation found in Christ Jesus. A very meaningful part of the growth of a Christian in the salvation of God is based on the words that are given by the Lord, through fellowship with Him, as seeds to be welcomed and cultivated with meekness in the heart of this same Christian. In all the themes mentioned above, we tried to highlight how essential it is for Christians to know that God speaks or communicates in a living way with His children for their growth in salvation and for each one of them to understand what God has in store for their lives, just as it is vital for them to learn how to relate with the means or ways in which God communicates with them. Nevertheless, when we come to look more closely at the issue of relationship with the Lord also in the aspect of prayer, we can see even more clearly that a more comprehensive process of communion or relationship is always bilateral and encompasses the participation of both parties. Thus, in this theme, we do not aim to address again, or in a more accentuated way, the fact that God communicates with people, nor the means by which the Lord communicates with them, but how the Christian communicates with the Lord and by which attitude this Christian can give answers to the words addressed to him or her by God. It was never the Lord's intent that his relationship with human beings should be unilateral or one-sided. On the contrary, from the beginning of the creation, the Lord was ready also to be attentive to listening to what people want to express to Him when they recognize Him as the Creator of their lives, as well as of heaven and earth and all that is in them. From the beginning of the creation, the Lord established a specific attitude to be practiced for people to express themselves to Him, which was called prayer. Prayer, mentioned in Scripture, is a way for a person to approach God for the purpose of communicating and expressing oneself specifically to God. Prayer is the most basic, central, or essential way for a human being to present to God what one wants to communicate to the Lord. Prayer is the most direct way to be used by a person to express oneself before the Lord since, through prayer, one can even ask God, the only Creator of humankind and Lord Almighty, to incline his ears to him or her to also act in response concerning what one presents before one's Creator, as exemplified in the following text. Romans 10, 12-13. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, the subject of prayer is essential and central to the life of every authentic Christian who wants to live a relationship with God and who yearns to be victorious in one's journey in line with the Heavenly Father's will. And as for its form, prayer can be something extremely simple. It can be similar to the simplicity of communicating with another person. However, as to the one to whom it is addressed, prayer is singular or unique, for it is the primary means for a person to express oneself to the one who is also unique and in whom is the power that sustains everything and everyone, and who can move far beyond what the human being thinks or believes is necessary for one's life, as we also see exemplified below. Daniel 9:21-23. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter, and understand the vision. Through the example of the book of Daniel, we can see that speaking to God or speaking to the Lord represents perfectly an expression that is equivalent to praying or practicing prayer. Let us notice, however, that saying that talking to God represents prayer is different from stating that prayer is only expressed through speech, for in other examples of the scriptures on the practice of prayer, we can see that praying to the Lord God also involves other deliberate attitudes and practices of a person to express oneself to God, not limited to speech alone. The Psalms of David recorded in the Bible, which were songs, hymns, and poems through which he expressed himself to the Lord, are also all considered in the scriptures as prayers, as can be seen below. Psalm 72:18-20. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David the son of Jesse are ended. Although in the Bible the vast majority of references made to prayers are associated with an idea of speech directed to God, the scriptures also offer us the example of a woman who prayed in her heart to the Lord, showing us that a person can express oneself in prayer to the eternal Lord also from the speech of the heart or from what one presents before the Lord from one's soul. 1 Samuel 1:10 and 12-15. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And Hannah answered and said, No, My Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. The Lord first sees people's hearts and what they present to Him in their hearts. And God is not impressed by the seemingly beautiful speeches and outward oratories that people try to expose to Him, as likewise exemplified below. Mark 7, 6. He answered and said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Luke 18, 11-14. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In the scriptures, there is yet another text that shows us that, in many cases, Christians themselves do not even know how to ask or pray to the Lord, and that to do so, they actually need to rely on the help of the Holy Spirit, who even intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered on behalf of those who love the Lord and long for His will. Romans 8, 24-27. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Finally, in this chapter, after we have seen that prayer is an instrument by which a person can express oneself to God, whether in speech, a song, or by pouring out one's heart and soul before God, even if one cannot verbalize exactly everything in words, a matter that may still puzzle many people is about the very need for prayer. Since God knows all things and God is Almighty, some people may ask themselves questions like the following. Why does the Lord instruct people to pray to Him? If God knows everything and everyone and has the power to do what is needed for people, why would there be a need for people to pray to the Lord? If we look at the life of human beings in general, it can be seen that there are a series of benefits that God grants to people even when they ignore the Lord, as said by the Lord Jesus in the following text. Matthew 5:45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. On the other hand, there are many aspects of life for which God waits for people to express their will before Him and which He only grants through prayer, as also exemplified by the texts below. James 4, 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. James 1, 4-5. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Therefore, prayer is essential for people's lives in the world because part of what God gives people is granted by Him regardless of what they ask for or don't ask for, but another part is only granted if they ask God, because when someone asks something to the Lord, one also declares to God that one would like to receive what the Lord can give. John 3, 27. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it will be given to you, seek, and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. Many aspects from God's part for people are reserved for those who ask God for them, because the Lord also works by offering gifts to people that are granted not by way of imposition or regardless of their will. The fact that God, for instance, presents salvation through His gospel, which is the expression of an offer of life according to God's will, allows people to choose life according to this will voluntarily, a situation in which prayer is the means by which they can declare to God that they want to receive what the Lord offers them. As another example, if a human being wants to walk according to God's understanding and wisdom, and not according to one's own understanding or of the world, one needs a way to communicate one's intent to the Lord, and prayer is the way God established to do it. And why does God not give His wisdom in abundance to the individual who chooses to live and walk according to one's own understanding or according to the wisdom of the world? God does not share some aspects of His wisdom beforehand, which are very necessary for a person to live and walk according to God's will, simply because many people do not want what God has to give them, or because they do not express to God their desire for the intervention of the Lord on their behalf. In the last text of James mentioned above, we saw that people often prefer to covet, envy, and even kill instead of asking God for what they aspire to achieve. People often prefer to use their own ways to achieve what they want because, many times, it is their own goals that they pursue, rather than wanting to live and walk in God's will. Thus, prayer exists because God did not create people to only automatically receive everything that comes from Him, but also to choose whether they want what comes from God according to His will, or if they do not wish what comes from God, or yet, whether or not they want it according to the Lord's will and righteousness. Prayer is an instrument for people to express themselves to God to ask Him to supply their needs, but, before that, it is a way established by the Lord for people to express to God if they want the Lord's purpose and what accompanies this purpose. Matthew 6:7-10. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this way, asking God for something, for example, in the name of Jesus, is asking for something that is in fact in line with the Lord Jesus' very will, and that the Lord longs for it to be fulfilled on earth. And this is also praying to the Lord. John 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Prayer is a practical attitude through which a person can express oneself to God to present to the Lord a request for wisdom or provision of help in general, to express gratitude, to declare a feeling about the Lord, to express praise about the Lord and His attributes, to ask that the will of God might be fulfilled in one's life. As well as it can also be a way to express a request in favor of other people, peoples, and nations, and for the name of the Heavenly Father to be sanctified, with the goal that the kingdom, righteousness, and will of God may be extended to people throughout the earth.